prayer for that. Dr. Arnold called a couple weeks ago and asked if we could come and kind of touch base back and forth with each other. When they ripped apart my office, I couldn't find his phone number. I didn't know where I put it. So I wrote to him. I called him and kind of played phone tag, tagging back and forth one another. But we talked yesterday, and he showed up. So, Dr. Arnold, we're excited to have you. Always enjoy you coming.
Thank you.
And his wife's with him today, too. So make Mrs. Arnold feel welcome as they share dinner with us.
Thank you, Ron. Again, it's a privilege to be anywhere when you're my age. You just... when I look back in life, I'm so thankful and grateful how good God has been. He's been good to you as well. But as I think of our work in Africa, and I don't want to take up a lot of time, my niece's husband said to me one day, he's a contractor, very busy man, and it kind of helped me get, again, perspective in what I'm doing. I think I know what I'm doing. But he said, Uncle Dave, when you're out there in churches, do you just talk about missions? He said, we've had missionaries in our church here for several weeks in a row. And he said, honestly, it's just not meeting a need in my life. So we all have to be careful, don't we? I really want to meet your needs. I cannot meet your needs, but God can. But I have been placed in a position this morning of being a mouthpiece, a spokesman. And I pray that what I have to say this morning will be germane to you and be of help to you and a strength to you. But let me just say by bringing you up to what I am doing. 30 years of missions. 30 years of starting out with nothing and developing and praying. And we now have 16 schools, thousands of Muslim boys and girls that I can tell you are being trained and taught how to read and write. That's what we promise their parents. We go into villages and we're always invited there, and we tell the parents that we've come. We'd like to help your children, and though they're Islamic, they're like a lot of us, a lot of people in America. We're a Christian nation, but when it comes down to it, we're just. We just have a name, and many of them just have a name. They don't really know. They've not really had the teaching. Islamic people do not have the teaching. They are so open to the gospel. If you know and you have patience and you just sow seeds here, they do not. The Quran is not like your Bible. The Quran are merely statements that Muhammad made and gave to his warriors to be good, solid warriors. But talks nothing of creation, though when it does from place to place, it's using a lot of stuff that we have in the Bible. Islam was developed in something like 350 A.D. The gospel was here 4,000 years before that or whatever. So there have been a lot of cheating and taking pieces of Christianity into a lot of different things. But they're vulnerable. And we use that opportunity. We started out small. I was telling Gloria as we were driving in here, I love this statement. In fact, I have this statement in a book that I've written, For Jesus' Sake. God does not call the equipped. God equips the called. All you have to do is put your hand and put your heart at the availability of God. And God will take you, and God will develop you, and God will gift you. Isn't that wonderful? I had no idea about missions. I was a pastor for a number of years, and then I felt the need to help missionaries, to be an encouragement to me. Can you imagine a missionary traveling 10,000 miles? Thank God for him. Thank God he hasn't given up. But I look at it now. I know I didn't have the tools. In fact, I didn't have the tools when I started much of anything. God is so good. Don't limit God in your life. Don't limit God. Put your hand there in the hand of God Almighty. And watch what God can do for you. I was in a coffee shop. I know every Dunkin' Donut store on the East Coast. I can take you there. I've been there. I know, joking, but I know where the one is in Wellsboro. I'll tell you. I stop in here every now and again. Had a lot of interesting things happen to me in that coffee shop up there. But you see, I'm rambling. But I like that. God is able, and he's looking for people that will make themselves available. So there in that country, we have watched God do so much with so little. Little as much of God's in it. The Bible says, the Old Testament writer said, don't despise a day of small things. Because everything starts out small and then it develops, hopefully, into complexity. When you started math, you didn't start with algebra. You started with 1 + 1 = 5, or what? So you were little concepts, and much of life is like that. The Bible says the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. And I like to just say, just walk in the light as he is in the light, and you will have fellowship one with another. It's not a real complexity thing. It's just walking day. One step at a time, one day at a time, amen? Boy, the older I get, Ron, the more I understand that one step at a time. I turned 81 on August the 27th. And when I think of 81, I think of an old man that can't do anything, but don't put me in that category. I have that Marine spirit. And I really, Russ, that what I learned in the Marine Corps has sure helped me in my work with God. I'll tell you, I learned the understanding of authority, and I understood the understanding of the law, the uniform code of military. So a lot of that has helped me, but I like the fact that God's able to do and help us. I'm excited now. We just sent another 40-foot container to Africa, and we have, my gosh, I think about 150, 160 desks. We're building a brand new school over there. It is the best school that we've built in Sierra Leone. Two engineers from Pittsburgh came into our ministry about 20 years ago, 15 years ago, have really stood with me. They designed that building. It's made of steel and mortar, and because our other buildings were made of lumber, and in West Africa, termites will eat that in about 2 years or 3 years. It's just something. This is a structure. We'll have over 350 kids right now waiting. We have videos of the kids coming up on the site and carrying great big boulders out of the way, almost doing the landscaping, so that the men could, the contractor and the people could come in there and work. And we use the natural. We use the natives, if you want to call them that, the national people. We use them to do the construction. They do have the ability. Africans are sharp people. They've had centuries, just like you and I have had. Some of them have excelled into great things. That contractor that our engineers put the building in his hands, he built it exactly as the blueprints described it. It's an exciting place. The kids cannot wait. Now, that container is not going to get in there for another Oh, goodness, just a lot of red tape yet, but it'll probably get there maybe in 2 weeks. It took 4 weeks so far for it to get there from Richmond, Virginia. That's where our warehouse was, and get it over there. I'm rambling, but I just look at all of that, and I say, I don't know where to start, where to stop to tell you. We have 16 schools, all those teachers and all those men, all those pastors are looking to for us for guidance and direction, and I keep trying to say, Ron, you keep your eyes on Jesus, because one day I'm not going to be here, and they're not totally dependent on me. But you know what I've learned? You be careful how you live, because somebody is depending on you. I don't care how old you are. Somebody's depending on you. Somebody's watching you. And that's why I wrote this book for Jesus' sake. You ought to get the book. I don't know of anything that will discourage you more than this. David said it very vividly. He said, had it not been for those that went into the house of God with me, my brothers that had forsaken me, I could have borne it. But it was my fellow men, my brothers, that walked away from me. That's been the greatest challenge in my ministry. People that said they were with us, and then they went from us because they were really not of us. That book, for Jesus' sake. Now, I do let a little qualification in the back of this book in which I say this. There are times when maybe it is right to leave a church, but you better be careful of it because you injure people. Must I be carried to the sky on flowery beds of ease while others fight to win the... I must be willing to take the burden. It's the same in marriage. If you're looking for a perfect marriage, I don't know where you'd look. If you think some other marriage would really... Boy, if I could marry that woman, I'll tell you, boy, that would be it. And then you marry her and say, my goodness, she's like my former wife. Or my former husband. Most of you in here are wise enough to know this. Brother, whatever you do in this life, you got to work at it. You got to labor. You got to be consistent. And you got to be patient. It just doesn't happen. You see somebody like Russ, who inducted into the Hall of Fame. I hope someday we can all be inducted into the Hall of Fame of Faith. Amen? That we might hear our God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But Russ had to walk some tough times. Can't you win one game, coach? I mean, one game. Can't you win one? Well, I have all these new recruits, but win one. Yeah, it doesn't work sometimes. You say, man, we're beating our head against a wall, but you just keep on keeping on. Amen. And in my years now, I get up this morning without a pain. Russ, I do not have a pain in my body. I went to bed last night. I thought, legs, can't we cooperate a little? I'm not even on you, and you're talking to me. My knees hurt me. My hips are hurting me. I feel so good right now, I might preach for 5 hours. That's where we are. But I look at that, I look at the work in Africa, and I tell you, there are just so many missionaries that are lazy. There's a lot of lazy preachers. They go to the field, and they think everybody's going to come to them. My goodness, you just have to work. And that's a responsibility you have as a church, I just tell you. Because somebody says, hey, I'm going out in the mission field. Well, they may be a nice preacher. They may be a good preacher. They may be whatever. But a missionary ought to work his way out of a job. I've worked my way out of 16 churches. There's a lot of things. We've got to keep our heads. We've got to keep our eyes on the Lord. But this book talks about there are sometimes the church philosophically doesn't line up with you. And it might be acceptable to leave that church if you leave it in the right way. You affect people. You're not an island unto yourself. You are being watched, and as Paul said, learned and read of all men. I can't. Francis of Assisi said, "Preach the Bible everywhere, at all times, to all people, and if necessary, use words." We're being learned, Paul said, we're being read and learned of all men. Somebody's watching you. You have no right to bring discredit to God or to the household of God. So that's what that book here is all about. $10, you can have this book. I'd like to have $25, but it's not worth $20. I mean, if you'd like to have it, it's from my heart. I never talk about it, Ron. I felt I should this morning. I have another book I've written. I have had a lot of people talk about this book, call me about this book. Why a Good God Allows Bad Things to Happen. I don't know of anything that will challenge your walk with God more than the unexplainables. Your sister. Your brother-in-law. I love those people. They are. Class acts, Ron. Really? Class acts. Your brother-in-law. Wynn Hilliard. I went to a football game with Wynn Hilliard. To the... What do they call them?
Delaware.
What's it?
Blue Hens.
The Blue Hens. I said I'd never heard of such a Blue Hens. I said, what? Oh, I'm a Blue Hen. I said, for heaven's sakes. And that day, they looked like they were poor hens. I mean, they got run all over. But Wynn was such a class act. I thank God for people that God has brought into my life. And those two were certainly great encouragers, smart people. Wynn was a banker before going into ministry, and a good thing, a good man. But why God allows bad things to happen, it's just a book I think you ought to have. And maybe you ought to get it for somebody else. I'd like to have $25 if you'd like to have it. If you'll give me $10, I'll compromise, and you can have it. You might want to give that book to somebody. I've been in ministry 54 years. I do know something. I don't know a lot, but I have my heart in here, Russ. That's all I want to say. I have my heart in here. And it's a wonderful thing. We have God. Pray for us in West Africa. We hope to get that building, that new church done. And then we have already started a Bible training program over there. We do it correspondently. But we've been given 32 acres of land, and we're getting ready to launch a program there in the interior of West Africa, where we will teach. We'll build a college that we hope for us will evolve into a university. We're going to have training of teachers. We're going to, of course, train pastors. We're going to teach and train people that cannot go to college. We're going to teach them different trades. It'll all be on that property, 32 acres. It'll cost us millions of dollars to do that. But we're praying, and we're trusting God for it. And we have some men that are really looking at it and praying about it. And I believe it will happen. I don't think I will see it, at least not from this perspective, maybe from another perspective. But I'm very thankful, people. I've never had to go out and beg people. I've never asked you for anything, except if you could give me some, I'd take it. But he always takes care of me. I was in a church. Where was it? I was in a church. And I didn't get any money. You know, it takes money to run a church, run a ministry, be an evangelist. It takes money. I went to a church. Gloria, we've seen this so often. I didn't get any money. Pastor said, well, we'll pray for you. I said, thank you, sir. I mean, really, he was sincere. He was a very nice man, a young man. I said, well, thank you. I went home. And would you know, I got in my house. Can you all hear me?
I don't think your mic's turned on.
What did he say?
I thought you said you left it on. Where is it? Yeah, what size is it on, Russ? Is it in your pocket?
Oh, it's in my pocket.
Well, that would help. It was on. Batteries. I think the battery's dying, Russ.
Then turn that mic on there for me.
Okay.
And turn it up so I can hear. I just can't hear. It's one of the maladies of my age. And so I got home. And a dear young man that I started out with many years ago sent me a check for $1,000. God is so good. I really hope you can learn that. I hope you can learn it. Now, how much time do I have? 10:30? Okay, we have 15 minutes. I want you to... Did I confuse you with what I'm saying? Just pray for us. How long I'll do what I'm doing, I'm going to continue to do it. I have no retirement plans. I'm going to do it till I just cannot do it, Ron, until my mind goes crazy. And you have to come up and take me out of the pulpit and put me out in the shanty somewhere. But that's where we are. Thank you for your prayers. Please keep us in prayer. I love this church. I love to come here. And I miss some people that are not here today, frankly. And that's what sort of helped me say what I wanted to say. Would you please turn in your Bible to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. This is called the faith chapter. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to do something that if you'll bear with me, I have something here. It would take me probably an hour to say it, so I'm going to have to work at it. Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, the Hall of Fame chapter. Let me pray. Father in heaven, thank you again for your goodness. Thank you for the privilege, O Lord, of serving you. We certainly are incapable of being able to do it. But you are so good in giving us the capability, the that we might be able to do that, which would honor and glorify you. Thank you for Ron. I pray you'll give him protection as he travels today and then tomorrow to Denver. I pray that it'll be a good conference and that his heart will be challenged and stirred. I thank you for these men in ministry. God, only you know the attacks on their lives, the challenges they have. Only you know how much Satan would like to destroy them, hurt them, upset them, and displace them. So I commit Ron to you and his dear family. I commit them to you, asking for your blessing. I pray for Mrs. Hilliard today. I pray, God, that you'll be with her. Encourage her, Lord, somehow be merciful. And when you see fit, take her into to your loving arms and into the bosom of Abraham. Again, Holy Spirit, please do the work today for me. So much to say, I don't know how to say it. In Jesus' name, I'm thanking you in advance. Amen. The Bible says here in the book of Hebrews 11, verse 8, talking about the life of Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Do you understand God has an inheritance for you? You know what inheritances are. It's something that you're looking forward to. It's a dividend. It really has more value than anything else you've ever had. It's eternal in the heavens. God has something eternal for you. Pity the poor man that only labors for things that are temporal. Money is temporal. Many of the people that you perhaps have venerated and wished that you could be like, if they had nothing beyond the temporary, they really are pathetic people. We labor because we have something eternal in the heavens. We get that by walking, not by sight, but by faith. Somebody said faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is being sure of what we hope for. You're a Christian. You hope for the one day to meet God. Now, here was Abraham. I don't know how you can relate to it. I cannot many times relate to it. But here is Abraham. He was called to go out. And you want to know something? When God called you, the going was as important as the coming. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That is ever as important as when he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Jesus said, come on to me, and I'll give you eternal life, and no, you shall never perish, and no man will be able to pluck you out of my hands. He said, come on to me. We have come on to the Lord. If you're here today and you're a Christian, I want to tell you something. You have come and you have met the Creator of the whole universe. It's us. It's incredible. It's incomprehensible. But now he did not call you to come and just sit. He called you now to go, and it'll be many different ways of going. But that's the inheritance. That's part of the inheritance. We labor not for wealth or fame, but we labor that we might hear God say, well done. So you see, he went out not knowing, into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. I wonder what God has for you. Look, do I sound ostentatious when I say? What if Ron would not have ever gone to Africa? What if I would have been content to stay in my church? And I tell you, I could have stayed there till I died. All the deacons, I led them to the Lord. I told them God was calling me away. They said, "We're going with you, Papa." But I look now at Africa and I say, my goodness, look at the inheritance. And gentlemen, ladies, it's not me. It's God that worked through me. But God uses humans. God uses humans. You can sit on your blessed assurance. You can go to the halls of education until you're so full of education, you're worthless. Or you can so get motivated with wealth and fame, and when you die, that all die with you. But my goodness, an inheritance. Oh, I don't need to go much further. Do you ever think of it? You say, Dave, but God didn't call me to preach. You're a Christian. You're a Christian. And God, maybe you don't believe this, but God has a will for your life. And God has a purpose. And when you have a purpose drive in you, you'll amount to something. I watched this dear mother come this morning with her children. And I said, God, I want to help that mom and those precious children. And God has a purpose for that mom. I believe, my goodness, my mother had a purpose. And my mother's purpose was to raise her children and see that they were cared for. She was abused by her husband. I saw the abuse. Oh, I saw it. I've never been impressed with drinking. I lived in the hell of it. It's not debonairing. I saw the hell of it. I lived in somewhat of a patent place where men would slip over to the neighbor and the neighbors would slip around. And one neighbor lady would walk, would go out to her clothesline naked. And I saw the destruction of so much. But my mother, on $19 a week, had a purpose. And thank God it was to take care of me and my two sisters and my half sister. My sister. I believe my mom is receiving a inheritance. Oh, you say you think you're so smart. I'm nothing. I was nothing. We were so poor, but my mother had a purpose. In Jesus' name, don't look at what you're doing as being non-essential. I don't go to Africa and I haven't built 16 churches. So what? My mother never did, but now I am. And my mom gave herself to me. And I wanted to give myself to my kids, Ron. I said, I'm not neglecting my family. My dear wife sitting back there. I neglected her. I remember one time, I'll never get to my sermon. I wish I could preach some of them. They're not worth much, but one day we were in a store, and it was whenever these malls started to come. We were back in the country like you are. And we went to the mall. We walked in, I forget the name of it, the Boscos. You ever hear of Boscos? Well, you never did. And I said, Gloria, look at all these dresses. And that woman said to me, oh, I don't need any. I said, well, of course you. She said, Dave, I haven't had a new dress for 10 years. Ron, that hurt me deeply. That's my responsibility. An inheritance in the eternal kingdom of God. For your inheritance, it might be that you'll be a good church member and be faithful to support a pastor. Your inheritance might be to, your gaining of an inheritance might be that you'll love a husband that's unlovely. I never heard my mom. I never heard my mom say one thing derogatorily about my dad. But I did hear my mom say this one time. She said, "Dave, I don't believe your daddy ever loved me. He had been married before, came out of the war. I don't want Gloria to die and say I never loved her." And love is so much, so important. We're working for an inheritance. That he would go out into a place where he should afterwards receive for an inheritance. He obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. One step at a time. One day at a time. Letting God lead me and letting God lead you. This is so important what we're doing. Now, let me show you his focus and then we'll be finished. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him. Notice the same promise. Posterity, passing it on to the next generation. Do your kids see faith in you? Do your kids see an inheritance? Listen, this is not a country club. This is not a social gathering. This is a house of God. This is so important. It's so important. And if it's not important to you, it'll not be important to your kids. Mom would get me up on Sunday morning. She didn't go. She was trying to make some money, taking in washing. And she put those pants on me that were my Sunday pants. I'd put those pants on, and my mother would give me a dime. Now a dime was something. Off to Sunday school I went with a dime. And so I would take the dime and I would put it in the offering plate and take out a nickel. She didn't say I couldn't. I took out a nickel and I would go down to the firehouse where all the men were. So I thought, men go to the firehouse, women, sissies, go to church. So I took my nickel down to the firehouse, and I could buy a candy bar, or I could buy a coat with that nickel. And I'd go home, Mom said, Mom would say, "Did you give your dime?" "Yes, ma'am." But I took half. I didn't tell her, but I took half back. But you know, my mom was setting a precedent there and showing me how important it was. And I tell you, oh, ladies and gentlemen, let's grab this as best we can.
Let's live for God, and let's see the importance of the house of God, and let's make some sacrifices here that we do not have empty pews, but that we do whatever we can. It cannot be done by the pastor or Russ or Sir Son Yu. And it's going to involve all of us. Amen. Can I see your hair? Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, well, you'll have to holler because I can't hear that. But anyhow, there we are.
A promise. Abraham, boy, do I wish I could give you this sermon. I think you might like it, but it's wonderful. And one day I don't care if I don't have anything up there, as long as I can see Jesus. I've never had much in this life. I don't need a mansion. I was in a mansion the other day, honest to Pete. I said, this is something. But we need to love God. Find out what God wants you to do and do it with passion. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Help us, oh Lord. I rambled maybe a little, but I want to just talk to him. Help us. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, how many of you know you're a Christian? Now hold it. Put your hand up and let me see it. Let me see. I'm sure you people are Christians. Thank you. Put your hands down. How many of you believe that we do work for an inheritance in the eternal kingdom of God? How many of you believe that? Raise your hand. Whether you have, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Here's what I'd like you to do. I want those of you that believe that we're working for something that's eternal, I want you to stand as a testimony and let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. You believe you have an eternal inheritance? I want you to have passion. I'm going to pray for passion in your heart. Russ, you know what football was. If a guy didn't have passion, God loved you, everybody ran over him. You couldn't walk up to that huge man and say, now don't hit me too hard. I'd just go ahead and hit him, and he'd walk all over me, but at least he didn't kill me. That's how I felt about it. I just hit him. I never played football, so I'm sorry. Lord, thank you for these dear people. God, please help us. Thank you for Ron. Again, I pray for him. I pray that we might be like Abraham. A man that had absolutely an inheritance that he was seeking after, and he did it, and he went about and obtained the promise of God. Let us all be like that in Jesus' name. Amen.
A couple of different thoughts. You can just be seated just for a second. We're going to close in a song. You have a thing coming out of your pocket there. I was listening, but I was thinking, he reminded me of Bernie Sanders. Looks like Bernie Sanders. Wouldn't it be great to see Bernie Sanders come to Christ and have that kind of passion for the Lord rather than the stuff he has?
You know, Ron, everywhere I go, I was in a black church in North Carolina, and the lady came up to me, this big black lady. She said, you know, sir, who you remind me of? I hope the Apostle Paul or Jesus. Because I knew what she was going to say. Bernie Sanders took it all.
But wouldn't it be great to see Bernie Sanders with that passion for the Lord rather than what stuff he stands for? The other thing is I knew he was speaking about. They were in the parking lot when Kim pulled in, and my tears came to my eyes because I was thinking of Kim and Amy. Aren't you thankful that they bring their kids?
Yes.
They come alone,
yes.
And they bring their kids. Kim's here every week before anybody else shows up normally,
yes,
with her kids. And Amy faithfully brings her kids to church.
Thank
so we,
you for being here,
well, we love them. We love all of you. But just what a great, great service that was. And he didn't get to his message, but he challenged us. How many of you have that kind of a passion and that kind of a drive at your age, not 81? Isn't that amazing? God is using him. And as you said, my brother-in-law and sister loved him, And my brother-in-law went home to be with the Lord. My sister's dying. So we know that. But let's stand together. Russ is going to come and lead us in our closing song. And about 10 minutes, about quarter of, we'll come back up. We'll stay in here, and then we'll have our luncheon to follow.
Well, this song, I love to tell the story. It's a nice, easygoing melody. Doesn't show a lot of passion, but it's exactly what we should have, the passion to tell the story. So we'll sing one verse of I Love to Tell the Story. Do we have it on the... We don't? So you're going to have to turn in your hymnals to page 538. You might know it. When the pressure's on, though, no, when I have to sing it, I'll probably miss some speed. 538. And let's take our noses out of the book and try to sing it out loud, okay? You got it? I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know it's true. It satisfied my longing as nothing else could do. I love.